goes to the book of Romans. Romans. Chapter 1. In fact, tonight, I think, we will finish up chapter 1. For you guys who just arrived, we've been going through Romans, starting this series a few weeks ago. I think tonight I'm going to finish up chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin tonight at verse 24. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's stop right here and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the Word of God this evening. Our Lord, for those on their way, get them here safely, get them here speedily. And we do pray this gives us a great meeting tonight. May the Spirit of God speak to hearts tonight. May the Spirit of God help me as I preach tonight. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've been emphasizing each week that the theme of this epistle is the gospel. So when someone would say to you, what is the book of Romans all about? Well, the theme of this great epistle is the gospel. Let's go back and review. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Right there in the very first verse, we have the theme. Paul was separated. He was devoted to the gospel of God. Verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. There we have the gospel again. Verse 15. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But he could say to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That's the idea. So here we have four references to the gospel right here in the beginning of the book. Now, the gospel means good news. Good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Good news that he rose from the dead. Good news that he'll take us to heaven if we trust in him. The gospel means good news, but one cannot really appreciate good news without hearing some bad news. You see, right? Good news is only good because it's in contrast to bad news. And the bad news is here too. The bad news is that man is a wicked sinner deserving to go to hell. Man is a wicked sinner deserving the judgment of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, that's talking about the judgment of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I mentioned before, that idea, hold the truth, literally is hold down the truth, suppress the truth. And that's what sinners do. They're holding back the truth, holding down the truth, suppressing the truth. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So the good news, Jesus saves. The bad news, those who don't believe in Jesus are condemned, and they're going to be judged. Three times in this first chapter of Romans, three times the Apostle Paul states that God has given them up. He gave them up. Look at chapter 1, verse number 24. Chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. Verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up. And it's the third one I want to focus on tonight. Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in other words, they didn't want to think about God, or anything to do with God, when they wanted to ignore God, just want to live their lives without God, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. F.B. Meyer said, once men have deliberately chosen the downward path, there's nothing to stop them. They go headlong from one point to another in their descent into darkness. So sinners don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't retain God. They don't want to think about God. They're godless. They're ungodly. And they don't want to answer to God. Sinners try and replace God with other things, like evolution, environmentalism. You notice how some people get all worked up over the environment and all this foolishness about global warming and all this other thing? They get fanatical about it. But I said it before, the same people that go crazy over this environmentalism, they couldn't care less than over a million babies are killed every year right here in America. That doesn't bother them at all. They don't shed a tear over all those babies being butchered and slaughtered and thrown into a trash can. But they'll go crazy over some ice caps are melting in the North Pole or something. Huh? They replace God with this kind of foolishness. Environmentalism, humanism, reincarnation, drugs, drinking, sexual immorality and sexual perversion. The occult is definitely on the rise. There's more and more people getting entangled in the occult nowadays than ever before. So they don't want to answer to God. They do not want to retain God. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What we're seeing today are a lot of people who have a reprobate mind. So what does that mean, reprobate mind? Well, I'm going to focus on it tonight. That's my message tonight, the marks of a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a twisted mind, a depraved mind, a debased mind, a confused mind that can't tell right from wrong. That's a reprobate mind. And we see that on every hand. Just look at the newspaper. Look at the television. Just listen to the junk on the radio. The people have a reprobate mind. They're confused in their thinking. They can't even tell right from wrong. Now, here in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives us all these marks of a reprobate mind. And by the way, there's a list of sins here. These marks, if you will, of a reprobate mind. Verse 29, verse 30, verse 31. These sins can be compared to similar lists in Paul's epistles. If you've been a Bible student for a while, you've noticed that there are several of these lists in the New Testament. And sometimes some overlap, some similarities, and so on. We're going to look at it real quick. Keep your place here. We will come back soon. But go with me to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Watch this, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Now you compare that with what we just read in Romans 1, you see a lot of similarities there. In fact, some of the same exact words. Verse 21. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and not have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Those are some of the most popular sins today. Yeah? Uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness. People can't get enough of the filth, immorality, and smut, and pornography, and adultery, and everything else that's so popular all over the TV and Hollywood and so on. All right, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Again, you see a lot of the repetition here from the other two lists we just read already. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like. By the way, you'll have the works, plural, of the flesh, and then in verse 22, the fruit, singular. It's not fruits of the Spirit. I've heard people say that. I've heard preachers say that. But it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. I don't have time to get into all that tonight, but you might want to check that out. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, please go there next. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3. Ephesians 5, verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. So here we have another list. And then 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for homemongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. By the way, that expression, that term, them that defile themselves with mankind, that refers to homosexuals. For men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I read a lot of scripture there, but you'll notice a lot of overlap, a lot of similarity between these various lists that Paul gives. I want to talk tonight about the marks of a reprobate mind. Now, when you go back to Romans 1, you'll notice something that's emphasized here. Sinners are filled with all unrighteousness. Verse 29 begins by saying, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, the Bible says that God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But rather be filled with the Spirit, sinners are filled with all unrighteousness. See the contrast? Instead of being filled with the Spirit, they're filled with all unrighteousness. And then he goes on to list some of these unrighteous deeds, fornication, wickedness, and so on. And verse 29, we're told sinners are full of envy. Go down the list a little bit there. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. So they're filled with all unrighteousness, and they're full of envy. Now, we don't hear much preaching about envy, seems to me, anyway, we don't. Hear a lot of preaching about other sins that are very popular in our sin-crazy world. But envy is a serious sin. And that's why it's listed here with all these other terrible sins like wickedness and maliciousness and fornication and murder. Right in the middle of all that is envy, full of envy. Envy is a wicked sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says, envy is the rottenness of the bones. Rottenness right down to the bones. It'll destroy people if they're consumed with envy and full of envy. Proverbs 27, verse 4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Think about that now. It's even more dangerous. So wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who's able to stand before envy? Envy destroys not only the person those who are envious of and jealous of, but it destroys the person who's envious. Rottenness is a rottenness to the bones. I'll give you some examples in the Bible of how dangerous envy is. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18 says, Pontius Pilate knew that for envy the Jews had delivered Christ to be crucified. So Pilate, here's an unsaved man, a Gentile man, but yet he could recognize right away what was going on, that the Jews were turning Christ over to him to be executed because they were full of envy. It says Pilate knew that for envy the Jews had delivered Jesus to him. He knew that, you see. Acts chapter 7, verse 9 says Joseph's brothers moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. So why would Joseph's brothers do such a terrible thing to sell their own flesh and blood, their own brother, to be sold into Egypt as a slave? Why? Well, they were moved with envy. See? Now, God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're told in Romans 1:29, sinners are filled with all unrighteousness. You could say, sinners are full of themselves. Have you met somebody who's full of himself? I have. It's not a very pleasant thing to see. They're full of themselves. And because they're full of themselves, verse 30 tells us they're despiteful, proud, boasters. We got a lot of boasters around, you know, always tooting their own horn and so on. Inventors of evil things. They're not content with the evil things that are out there. There's so many of them now. They invent even more evil things. A couple of new ones. Disobedient to parents. Interesting how that's mixed in there. A lot of kids are disobedient to their parents. I don't think it's such a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a wicked thing to be disobedient to your parents. And sinners are filled with covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. Verses 29 and 30. And verse 30 tells us they're haters of God. Now you think about that. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? All these other sins are bad enough, but to be a hater of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. They're haters of God. Now they hate God, and they love sin. Right? That's the way, that's what it comes down to. They hate God, they love sin. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4 tells us that for men shall be lovers of their own selves. See, they don't love God, they love themselves. Isn't that kind of sad? Rather than loving God, they just love themselves. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That describes the modern man. They love pleasures, but they don't love God. See? Well, let's get back to our list here. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. We already dealt with that, how wicked that is. Murder. Well, I mentioned that too. You know, we are a country that's against the law to kill somebody, except unless it's a helpless little baby, then abortion is legal. How about that? Most helpless little people in the world, little babies in a mother's womb. That ought to be the safest place in a mother's womb, but dangerous place for some babies. A million babies being slaughtered. So murder, debate. Some people always want to get into a debate. Deceit, malignity, whisperers. Now, malignity, that's an appropriate word to describe many people. Strong's Concordance says the word malignity means here bad character, depravity of heart and life, malicious craftiness. That's a pretty strong word. Malignity. Malignity. You know, just recently one of our members had to get a tumor removed, and he said it wasn't malignant. But we got some people with malignant tumors in their, you know, they're, it's a sin tumor. It's not something physical. It's a spiritual, moral tumor that's destroying them. Malignity. It's bad character, depravity. Then whisperers, verse 29. Whisperers. Whisperers is in the gossips, you know. Whispering. And that's a terrible sin, too. And once you let that get on in the church, you can really eat a church away. Just destroy the church. Backbiters, verse 30, that refers to defamers, evil speakers, slanderers. You know, 1 Timothy 3:11, you don't got to turn there. But 1 Timothy 3:11 says the deacon's wives should be grave, not slanderers. Not slanderers. Backbiters are like slanderers. Now listen to this. It says, not slanderers, but sober, faithful in all things. That word translated slanderers, that Greek word that is translated slanderous in our King James Bible is diabolos. Does that sound familiar? Diabolos? Yeah, where we get our word diabolical. Yeah, it's where we get our English word diabolical. And the very same word that's translated slanderers in 1 Timothy 3:11 is translated, normally it's translated the devil. Devil. Same word. So you could say really it's deacon's wives, deacon's wives should be grave, not devils. I should hope so. but slanderers, it's translated slanderers, and it means devil. We get a word diabolical. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, or the old serpent called diabolos, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Sinners are filled with this diabolical thinking, this devilishness, these devilish ideas and devilish habits. That's why they're haters of God. You see? That's why Paul says in verse 30, haters of God. Hey, I could give you so many examples of that, but time won't allow for that. But let me just read to you something I just read off the internet, recent article. Kind of a sad article, but you've probably heard this before. I see it almost every day. Legislation currently sweeping the country decrees that boys and young men must be allowed to use girls' restrooms and locker rooms if they claim to identify with the opposite sex and vice versa. So some boy tells the principal, I'm really a girl. He can go in a girl's bathroom now. Would you want your daughter in a bathroom with a guy like that? I wouldn't want my kids to be around people like that, huh? Let me continue. This legislation mandates pro-homosexual indoctrination of children as young as five. It requires the integration of open homosexuals into the military. That's been going on for years now, if you've been paying attention. Forces same-sex marriage on the nation. Well, the Supreme Court is about to come out with a decision that they say gay marriage is constitutional and forbidding it is unconstitutional. We might be stuck all 50 states with homosexual marriage. There's nowhere left to go. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm going to go to Oklahoma or I'm going to go to Texas. If they pass this thing, the whole country's going down the tubes, huh? All right. Same-sex marriage on the nation, and perhaps most disturbingly, criminalizes Christian business people for simply opposing homosexuality or same-sex marriage on moral and religious grounds. That's what's happening. Christianity is becoming criminalized now. If you believe that homosexuality is wrong, that's a hate crime. You're a homophobic. You're the bad guy. That's what's happening in America now. That's why in verse 30 it says, haters of God. They hate God and they hate the Bible. And they hate anybody who believes the Bible and preaches the Bible. Recently, CNN had a segment on the shootings in Texas. I'm sure most of you heard about that. In Garland, Texas, a suburb of Dallas, Texas. They had a draw pictures of Muhammad contest. And two fanatical terrorists showed up and started shooting. Thankfully, a cop shot them both, killed them. And anyway, CNN had a program on that. And Don Lemon, who, by the way, is a homosexual. And I'm not just slandering the guy. He came out and admitted it. He's not in the closet. He's a flaming homo. But this Don Lemon, the other guy, Ben Ferguson, and Lamont Hill, they discussed the shootings. Well, apparently Ben Ferguson's kind of a sensible guy. He said there's a section of Islam that is a real threat. But Lamont Hill said Christians are the ones that are dangerous. What? Said, well, yeah, that's what he said. What he said. On a different CNN program, CNN, by the way, that's why I don't watch CNN, amen? But on a different CNN, I watch my blood pressure go up, you'll aggravate that. I better watch, you know, Roy Rogers or Gene Autry or something. But on a different CNN program, CNN host Ashley Banfield compared a Muslim terrorist killing innocent people to a Christian saying the Lord's Prayer. I'm not making this up. These people are God haters, and they're crazy. They're crazy. A recent USA Today op-ed article included this kind of strange warning. Beware of the Christian extremists. Right? The ACLU, they told the media that Christians are just as extreme as ISIS. Well, that's what we're up against, huh? So, they're passing the seatbelt and getting ready. It's we're in for a rough ride, amen? I'm glad the Lord's coming back. But, you know, some people think, well, before it gets real bad, the Lord will come back. We don't know that. It could get a lot worse before the Lord comes back. You know, whenever you say that, you're looking at it from an American perspective. Well, it's going to be all right, the Lord's coming back. Think about all the Christians being persecuted around the world, getting their heads chopped off by ISIS and so on. Those preachers over there aren't saying, don't worry, the Lord's coming back, nothing bad's going to happen to you. No, they're being slaughtered. Having their heads chopped off by ISIS and all these other Muslim fanatics. These God-haters are despiteful, verse number 30, they're despiteful, they're proud, boasters, Despiteful means insolent, haughty, boastful, you see? And these are some of the marks of a reprobate mind. Let's move on. Look at the clock here. We've got to keep going. Sinners are without understanding. Verse number 31. Without understanding. Now if you look at that, you might say, wait a minute, I know some unsaved people. They're pretty clever. And they're educated. And then they seem to be on the ball in many ways. Well, stick with me. When Romans chapter 1, verse 31 says that without understanding, this is referring to moral and spiritual understanding. You got that? It's talking about moral and spiritual understanding. In other words, sinners foolishly ignore and defy God, and they disobey the word of God, and they're rushing on to eternal perdition. That sounds pretty foolish to me. That sounds pretty stupid to me, how anybody would just turn their back on God and defy God, and pretty soon this world's, their life and this earth is all over them. Where are they going to go? You have to face God and be cast off into the lake of fire. That's why they're without understanding, without moral and spiritual understanding. That's why they can defend two sodomites getting married and call that marriage. They have no moral understanding, no spiritual understanding, right? How can anybody in their right mind say something like that? That's why they can defend abortion. That's why they can defend a sex change operation. When this Bruce Jenner came out and gave an interview, a lot of folks said, isn't that wonderful? Isn't he so? What? But people, they must be out of their minds. He's a man who thinks he's a woman, and even this crazy politician, Rick Santorum, says he's a woman, he's a woman. What? Someone ought to lock that guy up. He looks like he deserves to belong to the insane asylum, huh? God help our country, I tell you what. They're without understanding. Thayer's lexicon says, a wicked man has no mind for the things which make for salvation. I said it before, I'll say it again. A person would rather go to hell than heaven. They're not in their right mind. You see? They're without understanding. How someone can say, well, I'll take my chances. I've had people tell me that. I'll take my chances. Is that a foolish thing to say? You'll take your chances? And then when you cast into hell, you say, wait a minute, I think I made the wrong choice. Too late. Too late. Another foolish thing I hear sinners say quite a bit. I want to go to hell. All my friends are there. That's a stupid thing to say too, isn't it? I say, well, the Bible says hell is like outer darkness. It might be so dark that you won't even recognize them anyway. And then Jesus said hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then that can be very pleasant company. You try hanging around somebody weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth for 1 million years, 2 billion years, 10 million years, 1 billion years. You kind of get tired of that company, wouldn't you? I think I would. I think after one night of that, I think I'd be going out of my mind. So, Thayer says, a wicked man has no mind for the things which make for salvation. By the way, the same Greek word, which is translated without understanding, here in verse number 31, that same word is translated foolish in verse 21. Go back to verse 21. At the very end of the verse, their foolish heart was darkened. That same word translated without understanding, and here is translated foolish. Their foolish heart was darkened. And it is pretty foolish to turn your back on God and live for the things of this world and live for sinful pleasures. That is foolish, I think. Well, because of their love for sin and because they have a reprobate mind, they're without understanding. You see? Without understanding. They're foolish. Their foolish heart was darkened. You know, Paul said something very interesting in 1 Timothy 4:2. He says that a conscience is seared with a hot iron. Those words have always startled me. I can hear it over and over. It still startles me. Imagine having a conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, ranchers brand their livestock with a hot branding iron. That's just to give you an idea what Paul's talking about. With a hot iron, they put that brand on their cattle or horses and stuff. They brand their livestock with a hot branding iron. And by continually sinning, sinners have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is seared, just like a hot iron in their head. And that makes them hard. That makes them dead to sensibility. Their mind has become hard because their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Strong's Concordance says this describes those whose souls are branded with the marks of sin. Satan has many of these God-haters, by the way, in influential positions. I'm sure you understand that tonight. Satan has many of these reprobates, these God-haters, in influential and powerful positions. In government, in the highest levels of government, in the universities, in the news media, in the entertainment media, and yes, in churches, in religious circles, in so-called Christian schools. They got so-called Christian schools now where you got lesbians and homosexuals and people who don't believe the Bible and all sorts of lost people are teaching in these schools. By the way, think about it now. You got these seminaries and religious schools where the faculty is made up of unsaved people, unregenerate lost sinners, and they're teaching ministerial students. What's going to happen to those ministerial students when they come out of there with their degree, their diploma? They're going to go pastor a church, but they've been brainwashed by 3-4 years by these unsaved teachers and professors. What kind of preacher are they going to do? How's that going to help anybody? The blind leading the blind is what it is. Well, let's move on. These men and women are without understanding in verse 31. They're spiritually blind. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's what they are. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." Jeremiah 4:22. Now watch this. This verse really fits to what I'm trying to say tonight. Jeremiah 4:22. "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children." Now sottish means stupid or silly. So you can substitute that word. We don't hear the word sottish these days. That's an old word in the King James Bible. "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They're stupid children. And they have none understanding." Huh? Jeremiah said the same thing Paul's saying here in Romans chapter 1, verse 31. "They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Doesn't that describe a lot of people today? They're wise to do evil, but they have to do good, they have no knowledge. They're wise to do evil. They're pretty clever when it comes to evil and getting into trouble and mischief, getting into sin, but to do good they have no knowledge. No interest at all in that. That's a shame, but that's what we're up against today. Sinners are without understanding. They're covenant breakers, according to verse 31. That means they're not trustworthy. You cannot believe a word they say, like these corrupt politicians. Huh? Finally, this Dean Skelos, this crook, stepped down from being a Senate Majority Leader. I hope they put him in jail for a long time. He makes me sick to my stomach. Him and that corrupt son of his, huh? And he wouldn't get out right away. They'd have to kind of force him out, just like the other crook, Shelby Silver. Now, there's one more big rat they got to get in that rat trap. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the governor. He's the worst of them all. The worst of the worst. He's a thug. But, you know, they'll pray. Pray that they'll clean them all out. But the problem is, they'll clean them all out, and the new ones come along just as bad. That's what's disheartening, I tell you right now. They get rid of some of these crooks and put them in jail, and new ones come along. This is bad. I thought Mario Cuomo was bad. His son is 10 times worse. Amen. And God forbid, but Andrew Cuomo's son comes on the scene. What a monster he'll be. But they're not trustworthy. They're covenant breakers. You can't believe a word they say. William Newell says this. The word, meaning the word translated covenant breakers, the word denotes that wickedness that does not intend to carry out its pledged word except for selfish ends. broken business contracts, violated national treaties, light betrayal of personal confidences, all have this hideous condition as their root. By the way, let me say one word about this rascal Skelos. We wouldn't have homo marriage in New York State if it weren't for him. You got a Super Bowl on or something? What is it? All right, I love that. You're turning a little pink, brother. Don't worry. I'm not going to give you too much trouble tonight. All right. We wouldn't have homo marriage in New York State, word for... Fine, I think, come on, right there I said that, too. You know what's the problem? Because the governor was in cahoots with Skelos. Skelos was the Senate Majority Leader. They cut a deal together to get that thing through. And look what happened to him. Now he's going to jail. Huh?
Thank God.
God is on the throne. Amen? And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Let's move on. They know the judgment of God. Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. What does that mean? They're responsible. There's no excuse. They know the judgment. Even worldly unsaved people know there's a place called hell. Right? They know there's a place called hell. There's no excuse. They know the judgment of God. They're responsible for what they're doing. They're without excuse. In fact, Paul says that in verse 20. Go back to verse 20. Look at the very end of verse 20. So that they are without excuse. And those who practice the wicked things listed here in Romans chapter 1 are worthy of death. You see that in verse number 32? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That means deserving of death. Not just physical death, the second death, being cast into the lake of fire. Now, statistics reveal that only 2 or 3% of Americans are homosexual. I mean, every time there's a survey, statistics, that's about what it comes out, 2 or 3%. So therefore, these nasty sins mentioned here in verses 26, 27, 28, you know, vile affections, for even there women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Homosexuality is against nature. Verse 27, likewise also the men, the sodomites, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. In other words, it's disgusting. It's unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meek. That's talking about AIDS. And then verse 28, and even as they did not like to tame God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Certainly homosexuality is not convenient. It's unnatural. Now, I said a lot to say this. The vast majority of people don't do those kind of disgusting things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Verse 32. So what do you mean by that? Well, they're giving their approval to it. They said they support so-called gay marriage, right? They thought Bruce Jenner, wow, how wonderful. They're applauding these kind of people. They approve of sex change operations and homo marriage and homosexuals adopting children and all these other things. It's terrible to let a homosexual adopt a child. That child's going to be ruined. How can he grow up and have a normal life in that kind of environment? So the Bible says here, who know in the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And by the way, this also means voting for politicians that are pro-homosexual. So the person pulls a lever and says, I'm voting for Bill de Blasio, I'm voting for Andrew Cuomo, I'm voting for Barack Obama, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. You're voting for politicians who support homosexuality. You're giving your approval to it. That's exactly what this is saying. It says here they have pleasure in them that do them. They're giving their approval. Or it says in the Scofield Bible in the margin here, they consent with them that practice them. They're giving their consent. Giving their A-OK. It's okay with me. So Hillary Clinton supports homosexuals. By the way, there's rumors she's one herself. Herman Wiener's wife. I know it's on the internet too, but I don't care. But you vote for someone like that, well, you're put your approval on it. Now, W.H. Griffith Thomas said, as certain as cause and effect, so it is with sin and punishment. There's no possibility of escape from condemnation for those who persistently continue in unrighteousness. This is a truth that needs constant emphasis and frequent repetition today. God's righteous action against sin is certain, inevitable, and universal. S. Lewis Johnson said, what we have today is the manifestation of the outpouring of the judicial wrath of God upon the human race. We are under the wrath of God, and the ultimate wrath is to come. Now listen, that's true. Only God knows how much time this country has left. Only God knows how much time this world has left. Now you read in Revelation 6, what's the emphasis in Revelation 6? The wrath of the Lamb. Kind of funny term, right? We think of the Lamb as meek and mild, but the wrath of the Lamb. Certainly America will soon face the wrath of God, the outpouring of God's judicial wrath. Brother Knickerbocker recently put a short little video on Facebook. The video was taken during the earthquake in Nepal. And it shows a building kind of teetering and then collapsing. Fascinating video. It's only about 10, 20 seconds, you know. And it shows the first building looks okay, but you can see underneath it's, you know, because of the earthquake, it was unstable, and then the whole thing just collapsed. Here's what Brother Knickerbocker wrote. He says, when the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? This reminds me of America teetering on the brink of disaster. I said, that's right. That's a perfect illustration of our country today. Just about ready to collapse. Because of sin. Because of ungodliness. Because we've disobeyed God and defied God. And we're going to have to face the judgment of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. And Lord, certainly Romans chapter 1, the latter part anyway, is a very, very serious, heavy portion of Scripture. But we know it needs to be read, it needs to be studied, it needs to be preached, it needs to be understood. As I said earlier, the emphasis here in Romans is the good news of the gospel. But there's also some bad news for those who don't believe the gospel. And we need to be able to convey that to people, as well as the good news. There's also some bad news that they don't believe. So have your way in our churches. We do our best to get the gospel out and to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. We want to pray particularly for these young men who've come here from quite a great distance to get the gospel out. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But their emphasis is trying to reach Jewish folks. And we thank God for them and pray to use them in a mighty way this summer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.